I see some people are still responding to me in a foreign language on Twitter, even though I gave specific instructions to only reply to me in American. Almost like someone thought it would be funny to defy my order. And yes, I know all of you smarty pants told me there's a translation feature on Twitter. Thank you for making me feel like a fool. I'm not using it. Welcome to the Comparison Group Podcast. www.thecomparisongroup.com. Follow me on Twitter at @comparison_show. @comparison_show. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcast, anywhere where you get podcast. Let's start the show. Joe Biden, please tell me this was all part of a master plan. Please tell me this was a scheme to get the Taliban to come out of the mountains, to come out of the caves, so we could fight them. From what I understand, that was what made this mission so difficult. For our troops, they never had the high ground. No matter where they went, with those mountains, there was always someone who had the high ground above them. And there was never a real collective force, an army, for our troops to fight. So get them out of those mountains, get them into the cities, and at least we can fight them. But alas, no. It appears Joe Biden is no genius military strategist. And I told you a couple shows ago, right here on this podcast, I did not like the tone coming from Joe Biden regarding Afghanistan. I tweeted at Biden, I didn't like the tone about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. To me, it just seemed like a defeatist tone. We've done all we can do, so we're getting out. The British couldn't win in Afghanistan. The Russians couldn't win in Afghanistan, which is kind of like saying, and we didn't win in Afghanistan. What U.S. president says that? I know he didn't say that directly, but that's the way it came across when he said it. The message to me, as I said, was, we're all done. Our troops are coming home. Our men in the military did their job admirably. They will be treated as heroes and thrown parades when they come home. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been proven right by what's happened in Afghanistan since the U.S. military has essentially left. Look at what's going on. What does that tell you? Our heroes, our men and women in the military, were holding back an entire army. What did we have in that country towards the end? What do we have there in the last couple of years? Well, we have a half dozen troops, 6 or 7 people there, and they were holding back the entire Taliban army basically just by fear. Because as far as I know, I don't even think the rules of engagement allowed our troops to even shoot at people a lot of times. And yet and still, they were allowing apparently girls to go to school, women to start businesses, to walk around not having to be covered from head to toe, to live as modern people. They were allowing elections to be held. They were holding that whole country together. So kudos to our men and women in the military. Our leadership, on the other hand, across 4 administrations, disaster. No president, Democratic or Republican, across the past 4 or 5 administrations, if I include Biden, go all the way back to Bush, seem to have any idea, any plan on how to handle Afghanistan. And I say 4 or 5 presidents because I know we have Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, but didn't we have another issue with Afghanistan when they were fighting the Russians and it was all over and we basically just bailed out of Afghanistan then and left them to their own devices? Isn't that really kind of how the Taliban came about in the first place? I might be wrong on that, but someone can check my history. What does this tell you? What does this tell you, Joe Biden? Afghanistan without the U.S. military is the Jackson 5 without Michael Jackson. Afghanistan without the U.S. military is the Chicago Bulls without Michael Jordan. Afghanistan without the U.S. military is the New England Patriots without Tom Brady. I could do this all day. And I keep hearing, oh, they're shocked. They're shocked at the speed. They're shocked at how fast it happened. Not that they're shocked it happened. They're shocked at how fast it happened. Well, let me ask you a question, Joe Biden administration. If you knew it was going to happen, you're just shocked at how fast it happened, why didn't you have a plan for getting people out, getting Americans out, securing the embassy in place? Because you knew it was going to happen, whether you thought it was going to happen in 2 months and not 2 weeks, it seems to me you still should have had a plan for getting interpreters out, getting people out who helped the U.S. military, getting out any vulnerable Americans. And don't tell me, oh, no, we thought it'd be more than 2 months. We thought it'd be a year, maybe 2 years, because all that would do is tell me you really didn't know what the situation was on the ground in Afghanistan. If you thought it was going to take that long, if you were that wrong, if you were that off on the speed at which the Taliban was going to take that entire country. And in the midst of this debacle, I see a tweet from Nancy Pelosi. Let me try and remember what the tweet said. I copied it, but let me just try and remember and paraphrase it. She tweeted that she was proud of Joe Biden and his clarity on Afghanistan. His clarity on Afghanistan. Yeah, he clearly has no idea what he's doing on Afghanistan. Then she said, the Taliban should know the world is watching. Because if Nancy Pelosi has learned anything, I guess, in the 20 years that we've been in Afghanistan, the Taliban definitely cares what the world thinks. And she wrapped up her tweet by saying she was concerned about the women and girls in Afghanistan. Thank you, Nancy. I will let the women and girls of Afghanistan know you're concerned about them while you're on vacation. You talk about being totally disconnected from reality, Nancy Pelosi. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I know there's a lot of people out there, maybe not so much now, but right in the very beginning, they were trying to pass the buck off to Donald Trump. Oh, well, it was Donald Trump who set the date for withdrawal. It was Donald Trump who legitimized the Taliban. Donald Trump wanted to meet with the Taliban in the Oval Office on 9/11. So this is all Donald Trump's fault. No, no, no. Sorry, doesn't work. I'll tell you why. Joe Biden wanted to get out of Afghanistan when he was vice president. He has had the idea to get out of Afghanistan long before Donald Trump ever did. So you can't blame this on Donald Trump. In addition to that, there was no obligation for Joe Biden to follow through on Donald Trump's date or plan to leave Afghanistan. He could have easily changed the circumstances for the withdrawal, changed the date, changed any agreements that were made. He's changed plenty of things that Donald Trump put in place. Why not this one? So this is 100% on Biden, and I give him credit. He said it. He took responsibility. He said the buck stops with him. So what happens? You make mistakes. But again, I got to go back to the tone. Now listen to me, Joe Biden. I know you probably listen to the show. Listen to me. I have never seen Mike Tyson with a bodyguard. Never. Not now. Not when he was a young man. I don't think Mike Tyson ever went out with a bodyguard. If he did, it was probably to protect the public from Mike Tyson, not Mike Tyson from the public. Tyson didn't need a bodyguard because no one in their right mind would mess with Mike Tyson. Every now and then, you might have some fool who would get drunk, or maybe someone who says, I'm going to try and provoke Mike Tyson and get him to shove me, and then I'll sue him. And Mike Tyson would then proceed to put his fist through the person's head. You'd see a picture in the paper the next day of the person in a full body cast with a headline that said, run in with Mike Tyson. Joe Biden, the American military is the Mike Tyson of the world. Act like it. Act like it. There shouldn't be a need to evacuate the American embassy in a panic. There should be a message coming out of this White House. Do not get within 20 miles of that embassy. Don't get anywhere near the airport until we tell you you can get near the airport. All of the things we put in place, the girls going to school, etc., are going to stay in place. Don't seek any revenge against anyone that helped us. And we're not asking you, we're telling you. If Joe Biden had had the right tone, there would be no need for the panic, for the emergency evacuations, for sending the military back in to secure embassies, to secure airports. There would be no need for people to be trying to jump on planes as they take off from the airport. If Joe Biden had had the right tone, the Taliban would have understood we can only shove so much or America is going to put their fist through our head. I heard Adam Kitzinger, Republican House member, say this makes us look weak. And when we are weak, people attack us. And he's right. But it's Biden that looks weak. It's Biden that's making us look weak because of his tone. Because the American military has shown just how strong they are by leaving Afghanistan. The American military has shown how strong they are by seeing how much safety they were providing to people, how much fear people have without the American military there. And of course, I joked earlier when I said there was only a half dozen people or so, but there really was only a couple of thousand troops in all of Afghanistan providing this safety, this security. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. So we're not weak. Joe Biden is making us look weak. And if you think I'm just taking this opportunity to come down on Joe Biden, I'm not. I said this when Barack Obama was president. I've said before, I do not think Barack Obama was good at foreign policy. And just to remind you that this is the comparison group, that was not my original opinion. I always talk about the need to change your opinion when new information becomes available, and I always talk about the need to be consistent. And I changed my opinion on Barack Obama's foreign policy after I saw some sort of a documentary, I believe it was, about our soldiers in Iraq, in a building, in the middle of a city, to secure the building. They were completely defensive and a sitting duck. And I said, that's just bad strategy. I don't know anything about combat, but I assume soldiers would rather be on the offensive rather than the defensive. And so Barack Obama's policy of diplomacy and waiting people out. Remember when ISIS came about and he made the decision to fight ISIS? Do you remember what he said in the press conference? He said it was going to take us 10 years, 10 years to defeat ISIS. Guys riding around in old pickup trucks. And Obama said it'll take us about 10 years to defeat ISIS, our military. Both Obama and Biden don't seem to realize you lose the support of the American people when you make us look weak when we don't have to look weak. Remember under Obama when we had a boatload of our soldiers, our Navy, captured by Iran, and there were images on TV of our people with their hands over their head having to surrender to Iran? Do you remember that? Did Obama go nuts? Did Obama say, listen, Iran, our military is well-trained and professional, but we won't hesitate to put a bullet between your eyes if you mess with our people? No, he basically said nothing. Give us our guys back. Remember when the drone crashed somewhere? I think it was in Afghanistan or Iraq. We had a drone crash. Did Obama say, we're coming to get that drone and you better not be anywhere near it when we get there? No. Give us our drone back. It's about tone, Democrats. It's about tone. Now, I'm not saying rain down fire and fury on everyone like Trump used to say, but can't we get anyone in the middle of unhinged, crazy, and soft diplomatic Democrats? I hope Joe Biden changes his tone. I hope he hears the show, and he probably will, because he seems to figure things out after he listens to my show, coincidentally. And he comes out and holds a press conference and says, listen, world, America is not to be trifled with. Don't get yourself on our list. I think you've seen our work. I think you've seen America's work in the past. You know what we're capable of. We're so crazy, we've dropped a nuclear bomb on ourselves by accident. That's true. Look it up. It wasn't armed, of course, but it just fell out of the bottom of a plane over American soil. Lastly, on Afghanistan, listen to me, liberals. I'm helping you out here. You criticize Trump supporters for finding no fault whatsoever with Trump. Well, if you don't want to be the same way with Biden, if you need something to find fault with Biden on, this is it. He totally screwed up this one. Moving on. As long as I'm railing against Biden, and before you call me a right-wing hack, I called Trump a psychopathic narcissist just a show ago, so I'm being fair. But a couple of other things bothering me about Joe Biden. He's got to stop with the, we have created X amount of jobs. Our economy is creating jobs at the fastest pace ever. Our economy is creating jobs like never before. Let me ask you this. Do you think it would be fair for Donald Trump to compare his first 6 months of job creation to Barack Obama's first 6 months of job creation? Of course not, because the circumstances were completely different. Obama was dealing with a deep recession caused by the previous administration, while Trump walked into an economy that was fairly strong. So why would you be okay with Biden crowing about 943,000 jobs better first 6 months than any other administration ever? As I say, to be in a comparison group, you have to be consistent. If you wouldn't be okay with Trump doing it, you can't be okay with Biden doing it. When Trump was still president and we were just starting to reopen following the coronavirus business closures, and Donald Trump had a huge jobs number, might have been like 5 million jobs in 1 month. And he went out and he said, I'm setting records. I'm setting records for job creation, never done before. Were you okay with that? Did you think that was realistic and authentic? Or did you say, those aren't created jobs. Those are people going back to work when businesses reopen. Well, it's the same thing with Joe Biden. 99% of these jobs he's crowing about aren't created new jobs. They're people going back to businesses, going back to jobs as businesses reopen and business gets better for those businesses as they reopen. Biden can take credit for that. He could at least take credit for some of the conditions that have put money in people's pockets and allow them to go out and spend and help these businesses recover. But that's nothing new. Obama did that. Trump did that. In fact, the very policy, the coronavirus recovery bill, had already been written when Trump was president. Now, I'm going to give you a refresher here that you're not going to like. That bill was written. Nancy Pelosi held it up because she did not want Donald Trump to get that victory right before the election. She went on TV and she argued with Wolf Blitzer that the Republican bill and the Democrat bill were wildly different. And the Republicans were only offering people crumbs and the bill wasn't big enough and she would not allow the bill to pass through the House. The same bill that passed in January when Biden became president. And guess what? It was the same amount of money. It wasn't any bigger. The Democrats didn't make the bill any bigger than what the Republicans were offering. It was essentially the same bill. The Democrats threw in a few extra goodies, but it was essentially the same bill. So if you're loving up on Joe Biden for helping to recover the economy by passing that bill, keep in mind that bill could have been passed easily under Donald Trump. What? How dare you? You want to check my facts? All right, fine. I'll play the clip. Hang on.
No, there are Americans who are being evicted from their homes. They can't pay the rent. Many Americans are waiting in food lines for the first time in their lives. Can you look them in the eye, Madam Speaker, and explain why you don't want to accept the president's latest stimulus offer?
Well, because thank you very much, Wolf, and I hope you'll ask the same question of the Republicans about why they don't really want to meet the needs of the American people.
Quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well, I assume you admire him, he's a Democrat, and he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal, put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist, and many of your colleagues, apologists for the Republican position. Ro Khanna, that's nice. That isn't what we're going to do, and nobody's waiting till February.
But there are millions of Americans who have lost their jobs. They can't pay the rent. Their kids need the food.
That's right, and that's what we're trying to get done.
$1.8 trillion, and the president just tweeted, stimulus, go big or go home. He wants even more right now, so why not work out a deal with him? And don't let the perfect, as they say here in Washington, be the enemy of the good.
Well, I will not let the wrong be the enemy of the right.
What's wrong with $1.8 trillion?
You know what? Do you have any idea what the difference is between the spending that they have in their bill and that we have in our bill? Do you realize that they have come back and said all these things for child tax credits and earned income tax credits for helping people who have lost their jobs are eliminated in their bill? Do you realize they pay no respect to the fact that child care is very important for people whose children cannot go to school because they're doing remote learning, and yet they minimize the need for child care, which is the threshold with which people, mothers and fathers, can go to work if they have that. Do you have any idea of how
That's why it's so important right now. Yesterday, I spoke to Andrew Yang, who says the same thing. It's not everything you want,
but
there's a lot there. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
When was the last time? When was the last time you spoke with the president about this?
I don't speak to the president.
Why not call him and say, Mr. President, let's work out a deal. It's not going to be everything you want, not going to be everything I want, but there are so many Americans right now who are in desperate need. Let's make a deal.
What makes me amused, if it weren't so sad, is how you all think that you know more about the suffering of the American people than those of us who are elected by them to represent them at that table. It is unfortunate that we do not have shared values with this White House, and that they have in their bill, why don't you talk about in their bill, a tax break for the wealthiest families in the country while they cut out the earned income tax credit for the poorest families in our country and the poorest children in our country.
So that's a clip I've played before on this show, and it's a very important clip, especially when you want to put it in context of the praise for Joe Biden coming from the left for the economy, and a lot of it is based on the American Recovery Act, the coronavirus relief bill, which was passed in March, actually. I said January earlier, but it was actually passed on March 11th. And you heard Nancy Pelosi there, we're not going to wait till February. Well, they actually ended up passing the bill in March. But in any case, a lot of the praise for Joe Biden for the economy is based on that bill. And you also heard Nancy Pelosi constantly referring to the child care tax credit, the increase of the child care tax credit. So as I said, that was the big difference between the Democrats and the Republicans on that bill. That bill could have been passed under Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi held it up. She didn't want to give Donald Trump the victory prior to the election. That interview with Wolf Blitzer was done prior to the election, so it would have had to have been in October or September. But not only was Nancy Pelosi holding the bill up and holding it up because of the child care tax credit mainly, but she also fails to mention that Donald Trump and the Republicans had passed their own increase of the child care tax credit. She said in that interview, you heard her, I'm sorry, we don't have shared values with this White House when it came to tax credits and child care tax credits. But let me read you from CNN Fact Checked, and I'll also post this to the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com. Did the Trump administration's child tax credit put over $2,000 into the pockets of 40 million American families? That's the question. The claim, first daughter Ivanka Trump claimed that the Trump administration had lived up to promises to make child care more affordable and accessible by boosting child tax credits as part of the 2018 tax overhaul. As part of Republican tax cuts in 2019 alone, our child tax credit put over $2,000 into the pockets of 40 million American families, she said. This is mostly correct. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act doubled the child tax credit to $2,000 per child and added another $500 credit for older children and other dependents. The Treasury Department estimates that about 39.4 million families received child tax credits and additional child tax credits in 2019, totaling $88.1 billion. That amounts to an average $2,234 per family. So there you have it. Donald Trump also was okay with increasing the child care tax credit. The Republicans also were okay with increasing the child care tax credit. So you're telling me they couldn't have worked out a deal to pass the American Rescue Plan while Donald Trump was in office? Of course they could. So slow down on your praise of Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats for the economy, because they played politics the same way the Republicans do, and they made people suffer for longer than they would have had to. It was a $1.8 trillion bill then, and it was a $1.8 trillion bill when it got passed. It didn't get any bigger. So if you think Joe Biden came into office and came up with this bill that saved the economy, he didn't. The bill was already written. It's just as simple as that. It's simple politics. Let's not fight it. Let's not fight it. They do it too. And let's not have the short-term memory loss that you claim the other side has. But keep in mind, that tax credit didn't kick in until July of this year. Joe Biden and the Democrats have been crowing about their job creation since January, since Biden took office. Joe Biden was crowing about job creation that was being created in states like Florida and Texas by them defying his wishes and reopening their businesses to full capacity. That brought people back to work. Joe Biden was against that, but he still took credit for those jobs that were created. All I'm saying is you wouldn't like it if Trump did it. You shouldn't like it if Biden does it. And you shouldn't give Joe Biden credit for a bill that could have been passed easily under Donald Trump if Nancy Pelosi wasn't in power and didn't hold it up. And as I said, they're not created jobs. We used to know what created jobs were. You know what created jobs are? Created jobs are when you come up with a program like Cash for Clunkers. That helped save the auto industry, and it led to growth in hiring in the auto industry. It's policies like, well, we have a shortage in healthcare. We have medics coming out of our military that have the experience, that have the knowledge. Let's cut through the red tape and let's match the people with the job. Let's get our military medics jobs in the private sector in healthcare. That creates new jobs. It's policies that benefit renewable energy and lead to 500,000 new jobs in solar energy. That's created new jobs. It's policies that educate people in STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. When you focus on the jobs of the future, that's policy that creates new jobs. Those are all things under Obama. And that's what job creation should look like, liberals. Not the government mailing checks to people and claiming you've lifted them out of poverty. It's a game. Understand the game. Right now, the government is sending a check anywhere from $300 to maybe $900 a month, every month, to tens of thousands of people across the country. You don't have to do anything to get it other than just have children of a certain age. The tax credit goes to the end of the year. Next year, there'll be a credit that can be applied to your taxes, but the monthly payment goes until the end of the year. And Nancy Pelosi hopes people will get hooked on that money. I need that money. They'll start to count on that money. And then when the midterm election comes around and the Republicans are trying to end the policy, the child care tax credit, the Democrats will say, look at the Republicans trying to take money from struggling families, trying to take food out of children's mouths. We need to make this child care tax credit permanent. They've already started saying it. And it's a good strategy. It's a great strategy for the Democrats if you don't care anything about the debt. It worked with Obamacare. People may have started out not caring much about Obamacare, but once they got it and once they got the benefits of it, they didn't want to give it up. They liked that coverage for pre-existing conditions. They liked that children staying on their parents' plans if they were in school. And all of a sudden, the Republicans had to start promising people the benefits of Obamacare. You couldn't take it away. the Democrats are doing the same thing with this child care tax credit. Is it good policy? Well, that's up for discussion. And to me, it's up for discussion because when it's all said and done, every time Joe Biden and Kamala Harris say they're building an economy that works for everyone, we're building an economy that works for everyone, not just the millionaires and the billionaires, I say, you could have fooled me. To me, they're building an economy that works if you're poor and have children. It works if you're rich and invest in the stock market. It doesn't necessarily work for small businesses who can't find workers. It doesn't work for people bearing the brunt of high gas prices or high prices at the grocery store and a dollar that doesn't go as far. An economy that works for everyone is an economy that recognizes everyone is important, bottom to top, top to bottom. And everyone has to do their fair share. Everyone has to pull their weight. We need farmers out there growing the crops. We need the cowboys out there cowboying on the ranches. We need the people driving truck. Keep the supply chain moving. We need the construction workers and the laborers. Like it or not, we still need coal miners and people out in the oil fields, keeping us warm. We need the people in the service industry and restaurants and retail and hotels. And yup, we need the smart nerds at the FDA, CDC, OSHA, keeping us safe. We need educators teaching us, preparing our kids for the future. We even need the bankers and the millionaires and the billionaires, innovating and inspiring. Everyone doing their part. Everyone pulling their own weight. Every day I wake up and say, what can I do to make a difference today? And then I roll over and I go back to sleep for 3 hours. But I'm not a good person. Don't be like me. Get out there and make a difference. That's the show. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at @comparison_show. Visit the website for other shows, other episodes, www.thecomparisongroup.com. www.thecomparisongroup.com. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time.